in so many brethren from other places to have sacrificed to be with the Brethren Convention to make this convention. To serve us this morning, Brother Randy will speak on the topic, A Day in the Life. A Day in the Life, and we call on Brother Randy now.
Thank you very much, Brother David. And dear brethren, it's a privilege to be with you this morning. And how happy we are to have the privilege of another day in the Lord. And we look forward to this day. The scripture plaques on many walls in the homes throughout the land say, this is the day which the Lord hath made for us. So we thought that we would share with you a few thoughts along these lines. They are not going to be strictly doctrinal. They're not going to be detailed in any great way, but we thought we would look at a day in the life and find out what are some of those little touchstones or little pictures that come to our minds which remind us that we are in the truth, that we are in the love of the Lord, and that we need to continue in that narrow way. It's great to be with you, to see your faces, to see that you're continuing faithful in the truth. And if Brother Adam didn't do it, we of course remind you of all the brethren from our area, from the Prince Albert area, that they likewise are striving in the narrow way, and they remember you in their prayers. Well then, what are perhaps a series of pictures? A series of pictures, or as we'd have it on today's television, a series of little clips, stop motion, if you will, of everyday things, the very everyday things, down-to-earth things, which perhaps can still be a springboard to cause us to think and contemplate on heavenly things. Well, we're not going to take much more than a few minutes each in each of the little areas, but we want to see also whether these everyday things that we do are not packed with meaning for the child of God. And we want to be able to see God's purpose in everyday things about us. So the most logical thing to do then would be to start your day. And we look then at the morning images, brethren. Those images which are around us and the first things that we hear as we go from slumber and enter the new day. The alarm sounds in the morning. And of course, if your alarm clock seems to have a radio or has a radio attached to it, there's news, there's weather, and there's sports that comes through your radio. And even that, brethren, is the very first. We find out that there are news developments that are coming across the news wires and the wire services the world over. And we learn that the Lord has allowed yet another and yet another great turn of events to take place in the earth around us. And we learn that mostly what he has in store for the world of mankind at this particular time is, sadly enough, a lot of hard-learned lessons, isn't it? But in any case, this is the first thought in the morning. You wake up and the news is there, and it is the first reminder that you are a Bible student, that you are a student of prophecy, because you begin to look into these things, read into them, think about them, and your mind is instantly transported into the realm of the truth. You're thinking on the truth from the very first moment of the day. The lights go on in your bedroom, and perhaps if you're a little sleepy, your eyes are a little, the lights go on a little too brightly. The bedroom blinds are open to the new day. Sister perhaps has already stirred, or, as is probably the case in our house, has already looked in on the little ones, the children, in their rooms and has started breakfast. And that all-important cup of coffee is brewing, and you can already smell it. In your day, you're being drawn into your day. It's early at this particular time, we can imagine in our minds, and there's often the temptation to hit, perhaps reach over to the alarm clock and hit the snooze button for a moment. I don't know if you do it, but sometimes I do that. Hit the snooze button, and so you do so, and you are able to lie in your back for a while, and you are given, you're given 8 more minutes of sleep. That's the way it's parceled out for you. So every one of us who has perhaps had a a more tiring night the night before, what you do is you enjoy those 8 minutes. You think on them for a while, and you allow your body to slowly come into the day. But you're awakened in less than five minutes of those 8 minutes by the sound of coffee cups. I'll get that right yet. Clinking, and sisters bringing in perhaps a cup of coffee into the bedroom to be put on the bedstand beside you. And then you are engaged right after that in coffee and in cheery conversation. So sitting up in bed and sipping a cup of coffee, and the radio gives you the weather and the news again in a few short minutes, and the conversation between you and sister and whoever else, perhaps the children or whatever, the conversation goes to the day's events to come, and a few last minute plans are perhaps set because we perhaps remembered that some new developments took place at work or around home, or some of the ecclesia matters as we are still laying down. These things come into our mind. There may be a very quiet and peaceful moment around in your bedchamber, and you begin your day and you set yourself on things above. And even as you lay, perhaps you lay down for a bit after you have that sip of coffee, and you feel automatically the need to perhaps close your eyes if you're still lying down, or if you're sitting on the side of the bed, it is almost automatic to kneel down beside your bed and to want to return thanks, to be instant in prayer, acknowledging the Heavenly Father in all things, that He might direct our paths during the day. Perhaps a scripture plaque that's on the wall beside your bed, a scripture plaque, reminds us of perhaps Psalms, the 5th chapter and verse 3, and we'll read that. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee, and I will look up. And I often think that when I think of that plaque, I think of Brother Charlie Chambers, who would dearly love to be with us. He sent us that plaque, and we have it in our home. And I often think that it, these things which allow us, perhaps, which, as our text says, which strengthen us, because they are reminders of the past, reminders of those who were near to us and who are near to us and who are with us in spirit. And so the very first things in the morning, to have these little touchstones wherever they might be in your home, are the things which strengthen us, so that we might be, as our theme text says, be strengthened. Perhaps even as you lie down or as you kneel, you are thinking of Psalms, the 26th chapter in verse 11, where the psalmist David in beautiful terms says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." That also was on a plaque which Brother Charlie gave Sister Winnie and I and the family, and it hangs on our wall. And we think of it often, and we think of the deep truth that is involved in it, that we want a plain path. And as our vow or the morning resolve said this morning, we want to be simple and sincere towards all. And so, what a reminder in the morning. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. The setting our mind on things above, on steeling ourselves, that's S-T-E-E-L, stealing ourselves, so that we might be ready for the day, and also to take into consideration the enemies that are about us, the world, the flesh, the devil. So how important it is for us to think upon that. Also, verse 14 of that same Psalms 26, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." Bits and pieces from the morning resolve intermingle perhaps with your thoughts as you go through your prayer. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I shall take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Most High." And the emphasis there is on what vows we want to make for the rest of our lives, for the hour to come, for the week to come, for the studies that we want to set aside for that week, and for our own personal and private study. We want to think about those vows. We think also in our prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more. So what becomes precious in these very few moments of the day, very first few moments of the day, is that Father, the Son to the Father contact that we must make immediately. And it's marvelous, isn't it? Just how marvelous it is to have and to be able to call upon the Heavenly Father to listen to our thoughts, that we would entreat Him to take time from His great affairs and consider us. We find that we think we've taken a long time when we're thinking about these things, but have you ever looked at how the clock runs? Those long thoughts which you thought took so long happened in no more than 30 or 45 seconds. That's all it took in order to do that. Well, perhaps by now, to get down to our morning images, though, you realize there will be a race for the shower. There'll be a race for the shower, the whole family. I don't know what it's like in your home, but sometimes you have to race for the shower in the morning. You dash there, and you make it there before sister does. As the little ones begin to stir, and as you walk by their rooms, and you see the little ones beginning to stir. And when you step into the shower nozzle seems to pour life into you and onto you and all over you. And your body, given to you, precious, yes, in its own sense, but the body is put into a new and invigorating setting for those 3 or 4 minutes, covered with water, bathed, and your senses are alive because this is a whole new thing that your body is experiencing after being quiet for 6, 7, 8 hours or so. So you give yourself a thorough rub down with thick lather of shampoo and you feel clean from head to toe. And all too seldom the deeper thoughts come to your mind even as you're in the shower, brethren. Even as you're thinking in the shower, what right have I got to even consider myself a son of the Most High God? In your nakedness before the Lord, you ask, what gives me that right, that incredible privilege? And as your heart beats more strongly because of the pulse of the shower and the water striking your body, and the last rinses of beautifully warm water remove the lather that was over your body, you affirm in your heart that you have sought the Lord. You have sought the Lord. You resolve in your heart that you have sought the Lord's favor from your youth, as did your father, perhaps, or perhaps even your father's father before him. And you remember the psalmist's words in Psalm, the 51st chapter, verses 5 through 11. Same words of David as he contemplated his life. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And as you are showering, you think, I don't know how it is with you, but at times you start to think about this cleansing, that the cleansing can be of the outward body, but what about the truth that the Lord wants to develop in your inward parts and in the hidden parts of your body, in your heart, in short? It goes on to say, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. So what a day, what a thought to start out the day with, that we might be able to share a little more of the wisdom of the Heavenly Father. David goes on to say, purge me. At the time that you're cleaning yourself, that you want to be as clean, as fresh as possible, not only outwardly, you think inwardly and you say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And to echo these thoughts, which are wonderful in themselves, the Apostle Paul's words perhaps come to mind too. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 11. And again, even as you're being cleansed on the outside of your body, you say, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an even evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10 and 22. So you take great comfort from the fact that you are not your own, but you are bought with a price. And you start your day off realizing just that you are no longer your own. You belong to the Lord. And the day and all of its activities belong to the Lord. You are lost in contemplation, as it were, for just a few seconds. Again, it seems like an eternity, but really in very few seconds, all these thoughts have come to your mind. And so even more, you have set the tone for your day, is the point we were trying to make. But as is often the case, we must not allow, brethren, our meditation to blind us to the need for good, sanctified thinking. Good, sanctified, sound, everyday thinking, which is expressed in the spirit of a sound mind. And as we deal with the little everyday problems of life, and yes, even as the sisters and the brethren who help the sisters in their everyday life, we must use sound thinking even in the very ordinary, everyday little things. We need good sound thinking. The clearest we can possibly achieve is sometimes emphasized if we perhaps enjoy our morning shower and the contemplation of the spiritual cleansing which is ours, and then perhaps we have a lapse of thinking and we discover that we have forgotten to bring a towel to place it by the tub so that we can dry ourselves off. We need to remember that even such a small error, even that small error, can cause a lot of needless concern and disturbance of our spirit. It may seem like a small matter, but it can cause disturbance of our spirit till the sister or one of the children might arrive with a towel. How often we have, so to speak, left ourselves in an embarrassing situation because of small oversight. We don't need to go on at length to remind the brethren that there is a fierce battle going on in us, the flesh warring against the spirit. And have you ever noticed that Satan must be a close listener to our conversation, to our contemplation with the Heavenly Father, because he will be quick to influence our flesh, to distract us at precisely the time as we might be enjoying a fine spiritual moment with our Lord. I am learning myself painfully and all too slowly that the flesh too wants to blame both the minor and the major disappointments of life on the fact that you are contemplating the spiritual. The flesh is ever present there to let you know that sometimes you have gotten into these little embarrassing moments simply because of a lapse in your thinking and you have been thinking spiritually. The flesh is all too ready to point fingers at you and say, you ought not to do that. But we realize that that is the lifeblood of the Christian, to think spiritually. We're really speaking of the problem of having this spiritual treasure in an earthen vessel, aren't we? Quite by chance, one day I heard a radio broadcast. And the radio broadcast was about stress. They were talking about how stress robs each one of us of joy. It can rob us of peace of mind in our everyday life. And the discussion brought out was certainly about everyday things. But I thought it might apply also to our spiritual matters as well. The discussion brought out that a high percentage of all stress is caused by a number of small, irritating, embarrassing, or even injurious little happenings which can add up all together. They're nothing in themselves, they don't seem like much, but they can add up together to a considerable amount of concern, which might also hamper our spiritual progress. Could these be perhaps some of the little foxes which spoil the vine, which we know of since our beginning of being in the truth, told of the little foxes which spoil the vine? Well, that radio discussion emphasized the need to avoid putting off the little repair jobs, even around the home, putting them off until they require a major expenditure of time or energy or money to deal with them. Perhaps even to the point where we would need to miss a meeting in order to take care of them. Our point is here that it can be the little things which can cause us to be robbed of those fine spiritual moments which we all look at as our lifeblood. They mentioned in the program to eliminate even those irritations caused when tools or appliances or radios or televisions don't work around the house. These might potentially lead to small frustrations and then perhaps even major arguments if we're not in the proper spirit of mind at any particular time. And it could even lead to anger if we are at our lowest point of resistance before the adversary. All of which would sap our physical strength and sap our mental energy as well. Yes, what a victory, brethren, it would be indeed if soon after the shower that we spoke of, your morning shower and the spiritual contemplation, we would find ourselves in an angry dispute over a trifling matter and so spoil the quality of our meditation with the Lord. What a tragedy, what an irony it would be indeed if that could be the case. And if, in my experience, we find that it happens too often. And so in an interest to try to improve on ourselves constantly, how important it would be to take that into consideration. Consider a different example of the irony of the famous long-distance runner, perhaps. A long-distance runner can neglect small matters. Consider the irony of the long-distance runner who was forced to withdraw from a race simply because a small blister on the back of his heel or on the sole of the foot began to fester during a race. Yes, brethren, if a long-distance runner, and some of them, as you see them, you watch them on television, you see them in their races, and if they need to take care of small matters, we also must learn to look after those small things which could add up to a spiritual disappointment. The Lord may protect us from the major harm, brethren, but He may allow Satan to test us and try us in the area of small irritations, whether or not we will allow a small spiritual injury or embarrassment to damage our prayer relationship with the Lord. The sufferings which we might bring upon ourselves, brethren, because of uncontrolled anger, those sufferings which we bring upon ourselves are not the kind which we can offer to the Lord and expect them to be accepted as part of our sacrifice. Well, the lesson then is that small matters must be controlled. The greater spiritual blessings can be lost because of trivial matters which could possibly stumble us. So as you finish, to get back to our images of the morning, as you finish your shower, you may just be deciding to shout out perhaps and complain about the fact that there's no towel there. You throw back the shower curtain only to find that sister has meanwhile placed a mat on the bathroom floor, on the carpet, and several soft, thick, fluffy towels close by for you to use. The lesson may seem like a small matter, brethren, but here is where the intimate knowledge and concern for each other of the brethren, for each one of us in our family and in the ecclesia, leads us to be vigilant, leads us to be of a spirit that would say, let's pour the oil of peace upon a potentially harmful situation. Even before, if possible, even before the trouble were to start. The quotation from the vow perhaps comes to your mind about this. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in the great matters, but also in the little things of life. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, that is, to contemplate the spiritual, to spend that time contemplating the spiritual, but at the same time, whatever might arise to disturb our peace, we are to, quote, repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. In short, many larger spiritual sicknesses have their roots in small matters born out of neglect and bad habits of the natural man. We were reminded of that by Brother Tom yesterday, who was saying that if someone says that you harmed them, it may have been a chance word here, it may have been a little expression there, maybe just a turn of a phrase that you've used, and it's caused someone to be put off. And so a small matter can blossom into a flower of evil, so to speak, and that's what we do not wish to have. Yes, the tendency to anger, to little acts of carelessness, do remind us of the wisdom of King Solomon. In the Songs of Solomon, second chapter, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. As you dry yourself off, the mind takes only a few seconds to recall perhaps a reprint article that you heard on that very subject. And we did find one in reprint article 5886, and we find the writer saying, ah, these little foxes, careless words spoken with scarcely a thought or in a moment of impatience, little grumblings, a sarcastic word or laugh or a look or a shrug. Oh, how these count in our daily lives, either for us or against us. Either for us or against our spiritual development, and often the development of others around us. How earnestly we should seek, said Brother Russell, how earnestly we should each seek to upbuild our own character and the characters of the brethren. Our Lord is marking all these things. Remember, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. Reprint article 5886. So as the minutes go by and you quickly find yourself dressed and ready to face the day, everyone finds themselves at a kitchen table. Each has gone through their morning routine, and the whole family seems to make it to the breakfast table, perhaps sometimes still buttoning a shirt or with their hair still a little bit damp or wet. When there are no early appointments and all of the family is together, those brethren who allow themselves a few poetic moments of deep contemplation, as they're perhaps helping to put the table settings on the table, they will ignore the television set nearby. I don't know about you, but the television set can be all too much of an intrusion into our life. But these brethren who are the most fortunate will ignore the television nearby as it again blares out the latest headlines, and they will observe the sister. They will observe their children around them. They notice perhaps the sister working away cheerfully for the most part, working against time to get her family away to work and to school on time, get the family fed, the family clothed, and in a frame of mind, it's no small responsibility to get them out of the house and everybody out of the house in a frame of mind befitting a family of Bible students. For what seems like a long time, but which is really only a few seconds, perhaps the brother ponders the sister. He notes her mood and her appearance, and for a while he thinks of her needs as concerns her consecration to the Lord. Through his mind perhaps run questions, questionings, self-examinations of himself. Is sister receiving enough encouragement, enough time for study? Are there enough times when he has freed her to be able to study or to meditate upon the Lord by doing some of her more mundane chores, those little things that can be done which count so much so that others might have peace of mind? He could consider, is she making progress in spirit and in the truth? Are both you and her, yours and her consecration vows as fresh as they were when they were first made? Is the blessing of marriage in the Lord as strong and as beneficial after 15, after 25, or after 40 years as it was some years ago when you first both started in the way? In other words, are you happy in the Lord? Are both developing satisfactorily as separate new creatures, yet also as best friends and each other's best critic? The brother will wonder whether he has lived up to the scriptural injunction by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 25 and following. Perhaps that verse comes to mind. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He nourisheth and cherisheth her, even as the Lord, the church. So if we ever want to look for an example, brethren, of an everyday occurrence which should draw us to the Lord, Help us to think and contemplate upon the Heavenly Father, the care of the Heavenly Father for His Son, the care of the Lord for His church. We have that example before us at all times, and how important it is to keep that in mind. So for a moment, as you think about this, the humdrum, the everyday things, the dirty dishes in the sink, so to speak, that all is stripped away for a moment, for a few seconds, as you help with one more little thing that needs putting on the table, and perhaps the thoughts come to mind. I'm sure all the brethren and sisters have contemplated it. Will this marvelous friendship, as you look at each other as we walk around the kitchen, as we buzz around the table and are just about to settle down for that meal, will this marvelous friendship of ours, sister and myself and our children, will it continue on into eternity? Will it go on into the eternity? Will both be found worthy of life? And will both receive their resurrection change? Will they be friends as new creatures for eternity? Will they be serving the Father in far grander service together, perhaps, meeting with one another, talking with one another in the eons of time to come? Will that happen? We can make it happen, brethren. The same is also true regarding all of our loved ones, brethren, not just those in our family, but relatives and neighbors, perhaps, and even those outside the marriage arrangement as well. Then both brother and sister, perhaps, as they're around the table, exchange a knowing glance. And they see in each other's eyes that there is this tremendous other level of thinking that they share. And it's the thing that separates them from their neighbors. And what a precious thing it is. And earthly things then take on the grandest significance possible, for this is our training ground, our proving ground for the Lord. For a few moments, their thoughts are no longer only of earthly things, but they are reaching forward into eternity itself, as it were, all based upon the very fundamental sayings of the Lord, because they wish to tie in their life completely to the Lord. As you move to sit down to the breakfast, for a moment you catch sight of yourself, perhaps in the mirror, just as you're sitting down, and you see that the aging process has not passed you by. For a brief moment, you share the same experience as your next door neighbor, the same neighbor who complained over the backyard fence last night that he or she would not put in as much garden this year because they weren't getting any younger. Then comes to mind the words of the Lord to remind us about perhaps the most fundamental reason why we carry on this life and death struggle, why we love the truth and the brethren so very much. It's because the Scriptures alone, the Scriptures only, hold out hope for us that we might not die. That our consciousness, our intimate contact with the Lord, might never be broken. No, not even for an instant, we're told by Scripture. When this flesh of ours expires and breathes its last, as it surely will. Aside from all the proofs, aside from all the chronological weight of evidence to tell us and to prove to us that we are the Lord's beloved, we come back to those very, very fundamental things which we share with our neighbors who are privileged to know less of the truth than we. And what are those thoughts? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Your eyes perhaps also for a moment move up and around, and you catch a scripture plaque on the wall, and it's a long scripture plaque. Romans, the 6th chapter, Paul's words. Reinforce your heart thoughts at that moment as you contemplate your only hope, and that is in the Lord. You read the plaque before you and on the wall, perhaps just glance at the first few words, but you know it almost by heart by now. And Paul's words come to you, comfort you. Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Jesus said, we know his words to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Our Lord asked Martha. Believest thou this? Perhaps at this point we can realize just what a great step forward the truth was in the 100 and 120 years that it has been here in North America and throughout the world. What a great step forward, and what a great privilege you have of being a Bible student home, when you realize that not only you are being looked after, not only you, but the whole world and mankind comes under the Heavenly Father's rulership and under his plan, which is fulfilling. So you sit down, perhaps after that, to the table, going from the spiritual to the things around you, to the spiritual to the things around you. You sit down at the table and you marvel at the Lord's words. You affirm that you do believe, and you reflect on the stupendous nature of the call of the new creation. You're invited to escape death on terms. Those terms, faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to the truth, and faithfulness to the brethren. Ah, yes, you say to yourself, you remember how Brother Russell said that we have a glorious opportunity to serve the Lord by loving the brethren about you. Also, John's words in 1 John 3:14 come to mind. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 16 nearby says, by this perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So you take a little more courage at this point after thinking on these things. And a second later, you look at your own feeble efforts to love the brethren, and you wonder, and you finally say to yourself inwardly, I know that my heart is right with the Lord. Very important morning thought. I know that my heart is right with the Lord. Verse 21 of that same chapter, 1 John, reads, Beloved, if our heart condemn us, then we have if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So with a new reason for keeping on, you realize that you are deep in thought, and sister perhaps sort of wakes you up out of your reverie for a moment. You're still at the table there. She says, hey, where are you? It's time for the Bible reading. So the regular commands go out from the center of the table, the head of the table, and say, shut off the TV. No more cartoons for a while, children. The little ones can't have their cartoons at this particular time. And you come back to the real world, and you wonder whether it's not getting too late by the clock. It isn't. It's not late at this particular time in our imagination. So you watch as the sister, you watch and you listen as the younger one struggles through the daily scripture reading, taking a chapter or so, or even a half a chapter in the morning around the breakfast table and reading that. And that is a blessing, and you're so happy. You contemplate back and you think, well, it was a happy time to set aside the time that each one of us would have in the morning to read that chapter, to let our minds contemplate more and more clearly and completely the day ahead and the need for that. So the manna topic is read by another person at the table, and you know it'll be your turn tomorrow, and the other one's tomorrow, and the day after it, and goes in a circle around the table. You glance through the names of the brethren who have signed your manna book. All too often you gloss over each name. I don't know if it's the same with you, but you seem to gloss over them. But sometimes you meditate, and that is a precious time, and you meditate and you think about them, about their needs, their joys, their fellowship, which you last shared with them, and a silent prayer goes out for their welfare, even as the manna is being read. If you think about their progress, they're strengthening by the Lord in the face of a particularly difficult trial. Once or twice a year, you've even reached over and picked up the address book right beside your telephone, and you've dialed the brother. You've dialed the brother's or sister's number and wished them, heard the happy voice at the other end and said, wish them a happy birthday. And you can't help but think it must be something to them to get a call like that. Because you know, when you reminisce about the time that you yourself received a telephone call by the breakfast table, each one of us reminding one another of our friendship, our deep and heartfelt loyalty one to another. Your heart warms within it. The manna text is being read and your mind wanders for a moment, and then you grasp onto the words of Apostle Paul, because it's Hebrews the 13th chapter verse 5. You notice how good the older one's reading is getting around you. Notice how perhaps in our case it would be Joelle, as she reads the manna, you say progress is made in little steps. And how wonderful it is that the young ones would even have a chance to read the scripture, because it is a blessing even to read the scriptures we're told in Revelation. Hebrews 13th chapter verse 5 is being considered. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And again, Brother Russell's inimitable comments on that. It reads, the ascertainment of gains and losses as new creatures. Gains and losses. And how and when and where these come to us in the constant battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, will surely profit all who make such reckonings with an eye single to the pleasement of the Lord. Considering your losses and your gains throughout your life. You say to yourself, well, that's quite an idea. Sort of a spiritual ledger, keeping a kind of a spiritual ledger to help us know where we stand. Could there be perhaps a better thought of how to start the morning? Brother Russell goes on to say, spiritual Israelites are to live a daily and hourly life of nearness to the high priest. The blood of the dear Redeemer is to be continually invoked for the cleansing of the slightest defilement of conscience, that thus the wedding garment of our Lord's imputed righteousness may not become bedraggled. We may have it as we want to have it, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How important to do that. You resolve yourself then. Your own thoughts come to you, and you resolve yourself to be more careful to do just that. Claim the promise of the Lord that such cleansing will take place as long, always knowing that as long as our defilement was done without forethought or without malicious intent as it took place. So, our comfort is conditional upon these things, and we realize not only the great blessings that are before us, but we contemplate also that there is strong responsibility, great responsibility that each one of us has. As long as our wrongs were done or performed because of our uncontrollable weaknesses of the flesh, and after doing all we could to avoid the temptation, then perhaps these are cleansed by the Lord. What comes to mind is the joining in with the spirit of the world, perhaps evil speaking, filthy communication, the little foxes you thought about earlier as you were just coming out of the shower. The thought from the morning resolve comes to mind, especially in times when you fail to rule the tongue as you should. Perhaps in times when, to put it bluntly, you fail. You have not lived up to that standard as you would like to. Without the Lord's forgiveness, every occasion of unintended stumbling would discourage us to the point of spiritual paralysis, of anxiety and discontent. And again, the words come to our mind, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. Brethren, a further peace could come over us come over you. When you are able to say that if the Lord chastens us today because He knows our heart, we should have just known better. And if the Lord chastens us, then we are to accept the necessary stripes with patience. Accept those stripes or chastenings of the Lord with humility. If the Lord administers it to us, it will be fair. Exactly what we can bear, no more than we need, no less than what we need, to scourge us, to purge us, as it were. And finally, we would be assured and take comfort from the fact that He loves us enough to punish us. He loves us enough to scourge us. And again, the words from the Scripture, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So, brethren, just a few more thoughts and we will be closing. We think that some of the thoughts that we have been looking at are along the lines of Scriptures which we need every day to remind us of our walk. Remind Scriptures such as, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We keep thinking about the central thing that we all want to have, and that is peace with God. And we realize that the way which we can achieve it, the way in which we can accomplish it, is by looking at those little bits of embroidery that are being done every day. I wouldn't doubt that if you consider a cloth, it has certain strength. You take it and you can hold it like that and you realize it has strength, but no doubt the embroidery, that work that's done on it, if it's full and if it woven in between all those fabric, it would probably make it stronger. Probably give it just that many more cords to bind that fabric of our faith together. So we think along those lines. We also think of the thought that says, "Great peace have they that love thy law." We know of the law which governs the new creation. What law is that? The law of love. And it is to be the chief motivation of the new creature. We also think of another thought. You can hear Brother Megason's words from a tape echoing back to me now. He said, "In the midst of all your trials, in the midst of all your problems that you have, remember, the Scriptures tell us, in your patience possess ye your souls." That if you have patience with yourself, if you have patience to do that embroidery work, to think upon little things around you, the everyday things, right from your first waking thought right through to the end of the day, then perhaps the victory will be ours. We will possess our soul. And the meaning of possess your soul there means that your entire being will then be remembered by the Lord. And the Lord will then reward you. He will reward that spirit, that mind which you are trying to develop, will reward it and clothe it in glory and in beauty. And so, brethren, we have more that we could say, but we will close here. We will wish you all the best possible happiness, all the possible happiness that this world has to offer in everyday little things. But those little things must point forward, brethren. They must be springboards, is the word. A springboard to more spiritual matters. So we have not considered deep doctrinal things, but brethren, I know that Sister Winnie and I, we were greatly blessed to have to contemplate these words, think about them, and have the privilege of bringing them to you. So as you begin your day in the Lord, and you think about everything from a handshake, think about a kind word, not perhaps a sarcastic word. Sarcasm is the lowest form of humor, we're told. But think of joy. Think of those things, a little word here, a little word of encouragement, which can be of such great help to us. And so may the Lord continue to bless you in your walk.
Thank you, Brother Randy, for those thoughts on a day in the life. Brethren, we've come to intermission this morning. You can see in our programs we have a long intermission scheduled from 10:15 to 11 o'clock, and considering the program, we thought this would be beneficial in fellowshipping one with another, and we might add, we should try, and we should endeavor to seek for that fellowship which is ours. And what is our fellowship? It's along the lines of the truth. Let's endeavor in this fellowship to discuss our spiritual well-being and the truth, discuss the study that we're going through lately and our blessings we've gained from that, or ask how we're doing in this narrow way, and not upon the more mundane things that we have around us that we should forget for a period of time. For we set apart this weekend to meditate on holy things, on things which are precious in our sight. So let's try to do this intermission, get a chance to know our brethren that much more deeply, spiritually, one with another, and make this intermission very profitable. And Brother Randy will close with prayer.
Our dearest, most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once more with our hearts open to Thee to receive a blessing during this day. We ask Thee to let Thy Holy Spirit rest upon this congregation, upon each heart bowed before Thee. We've begun this day, we wish to live it unto Thee, and we ask that we might be Thy children, and as it were, learn at Thy feet. Learn from our brethren, learn from their experiences. We ask Thee to give us more of Thy Holy Spirit. Grant us the spirit of a sound mind in all of our affairs, all with whom we have to do. We remember ourselves in blessing here, and we also ask Thy care upon those brethren undergoing special trials of mind or body, those known to us and those unknown to us. Suit to them the blessings and the strengthening according to the theme of this convention. Suit to them the strength they would need to press on, that their heart and their mind might be made ready for that change which is promised. We ask forgiveness wherein we have said or done or thought anything which is not in accordance with Thy will, and resting in Thy grace, Thy promised grace to help in every time of need. We ask, Father, that Thou would accept these thoughts. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name.